Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been asking the question over and over again throughout each of these days where we've passed in this Tierra Santa, this Holy Land, who is this Jesus? And today in the city of Jericho, we get another bit of the mystery of who this Jesus is revealed to us. This morning at the Jordan River, we recall the transforming power of baptism and how that makes all things new for the Christian, the one who puts faith in God, the one who receives the power of his Spirit. And what do we find there in the gospel? At the baptism, our Lord receives not a grace which is something new, because baptism changes absolutely nothing about the Lord of glory. Anyone who tells you that it was at that moment that God claimed Jesus as his son is a liar and a heretic. The Lord Jesus has always been God's son from eternity. There was never any beginning or end shall it be to his sonship, to the pleasing nature that he had between him and God, which is what was spoken forth at that moment. But what the Lord of glory did there in the waters of the Jordan was that he baptized the waters of Jordan. And he took what John did for repentance and gave it a vigor, a power, imbuing it with his grace, which is to say, his very life, such that baptism doesn't merely wash skin of dirt, or like John did, be an act where somebody turns their life toward God in a symbol of repentance. But in the deepest center of the Christian, who receives Christ's baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as our Lord commanded his disciples to do in the rest of their ministry following him, baptism changes the very soul of the person, not merely cleansing it only of all sin ever committed, including original, but imparting a profound grace upon the soul that can never be wiped away, not by any other sin, so that no other washing is necessary ever again. And that the Lord did not claim Jesus, the Lord God, that is to say, claim Jesus as son there. But what happened is he claimed all those who would be little Jesuses, little Christ, thenceforth. Those words were not spoken merely to Jesus Christ that day, spoken to you and I. Each of you, you are the beloved son. You're the beloved daughter of God the Father. From the moment of your baptism, that changed everything about who it is that you are, and it always will be changed. There's no sin, no evil that you could ever commit in the whole of your life that God would ever turn his back upon what he recreated in you from the moment of your baptism. It's not because you're pleasing. It's not because there's anything good. It wasn't in view of the reality that someday you would do something good or become something great or finally turn away from wicked ways. It was in light of your belonging to God from that moment, where he claims you now and he claims you for all eternity. And the rest of life in Christ, passing through the temptations which you and I face, which is for us to hold to that baptismal identity. What we heard last night spoken about is there's a struggle that goes on with the people here of what identity do I hold to. I'm a Christian, said one of our interlocutors, but I'm also an Arab, but I'm also living in Israel. So what is my identity? It's tough to explain. It can be tough to explain to others what we are. But who are we really? That's not tough to explain. It's only tough to believe. You are the beloved son of God the Father. You are the beloved daughter of God the Father. And that began on the day of your baptism. And it doesn't matter whether you struggle to be able to explain that to someone else. No one else needs to know what that identity is. The most important person that needs to know that is you. The whole of your life and the whole of my life is a struggle to grapple with that identity. Who am I in Christ? Who are you in Christ? I hear Father say that. When I go to baptism, I see him do that thing. But did it really have an effect on me? Because this happened to me in my life. Because I know I did that thing at that time. Because I know I've lived my life so apart in so long. Could that still be true for me? We're here in the city of Jericho, a city which has undergone great turmoil throughout the centuries. They claim to be the oldest city in all creation, 10,000 years. The city has been built up and has been destroyed time and time again. Such was the prophecy, if you look through the Old Testament, that it would be torn down many a time. It's a symbol of what happens with sin. What sin does, especially the horror of grave sin, mortal sin, which tears down the soul, making the soul desolate. Each and every time you and I commit a grave sin, we destroy our souls. There's a greater destruction that happens within us than anything that happened when the Israelite people walked around seven times on the seventh day under Joshua, and God crushed the walls, preserving only those who clung in faith to God under Rahab, that harlot's mantle, where she said, "I trust in God, the God which you bring. Don't bring destruction to I or to anyone in my house. We'll serve your God. We see his power." That's what happens to you and I when we come back to God, especially through the sacrament of confession. We try to do things all on our own way. We're like all the other inhabitants of Jericho who were crushed under the weight of all those walls and had to be destroyed because they clung to their sins. And they would not cling to God, doing things God's way. You and I place ourselves under the curse of mortal sin, which has its wages in an eternal death, every time you and I refuse to go to confession and seek to do things our way instead of God's way. This city of Jericho, even in the life of Christ, was visited with many graces. What do we see? We see in the life of Christ that man of sin, that man who was a collaborator with the evil Romans, the oppressors, he was short in stature and short in the view of others, seen as nothing. Rejected by his own people was he. And so he sought to bring to himself many riches, hoping that somehow would bring fulfillment in his life, which it didn't. But he was hoping that this prophet, maybe he could do something. He had heard things about who this Lord Christ was. And it was by an act of repentance that his life was totally turned around. Let me read to you a little bit of a meditation given to us by the Sisters of Life in New York. I have a dear friend who is a novice. Soon she'll make her deeper professions within that way toward her final profession of being a full-fledged Sister of Life. This is what they write for you and I to reflect on the life of Zacchaeus. They remind us, the Sisters of Life do, in the eyes of Zacchaeus, he says, "I was heavy until he, Jesus, said my name. He said, 'Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So I, Zacchaeus, hastened, obedient to him and to the gladness that burst within my chest. And as I moved through the crowd, it seemed that I was no longer the man who had climbed into this tree just a moment ago. I was no longer Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I was Zacchaeus, the son. The son who had been called. And all around me, a murmur arose. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner? A sinner? He's gone to the house of a sinner? I, Zacchaeus, I came to him. And it seemed to me that I had never needed to worry. 'Behold, Lord,' I said, 'half of my goods I'll give to the poor.' I felt as a man I must feel when he has released me from prison. And if I defrauded anyone of anything, I'll restore it fourfold. It was the only thing that I could do, was to spill over the whole of my life. And then Zacchaeus began to look around him. This man, this Jesus, the Nazarene. And I followed the gaze of this man to behold the faces of all these men whom I knew and yet did not ever really know. They became to me in a moment brothers. Brothers because of him, Jesus. He said, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham.' This Jesus, he spoke gently and firmly, as a father speaks to a little child. He continued to say, 'For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost.' He was speaking of me, Zacchaeus. I was a man made poor for love. I, a lost man. I, a man who in a single instant became a son. This is the story of a soul. A soul who finally realized what it was like to be a son, to belong to a family, to realize how worthless all his self-serving and seeking to build up a riches for himself comes to nothing when all he ever needed to be and wanted and longed to be was to be a son, to be part of a family. Every time you and I live into sin, reject God's grace, cling to our own selfish ways, engage in mortal sin, refuse confession, we let go of that identity, of our sonship, of our daughterhood. The moment we turn to God with repentance, nothing else matters. As we continue in this journey of pilgrimage, ask the question, what am I clinging to? What self-sufficiency am I holding on to? What are the ways in which I have defrauded others so that I could seem to make something of and for myself? Ask the question, what am I saving up for a particular time in the future so that my days can be rich and merry? Or what is the call of the gospel? What is necessary? For all the sin that I've committed and the things that I've done wrong, what reparation do I need to make for them? Is it half of my possessions? Is it a return one or two or three or even fourfold beyond what I've defrauded? Make no mistake, faith, brothers and sisters, is not what saves. Faith that does not have actions which back it up is, as St. James says, a dead faith, a worthless faith, a faith that doesn't profit unto salvation. But a faith which begets a change of life is one which allows you and I to hear what our Lord said. Today the salvation has come to this man, to this Zacchaeus, to this sinner, to this tax collector, because he also is a son of Abraham. It is the promise of God. The Son of Man has came to seek and to save that which was lost. At the end of the pilgrimage, really encountering this Jesus Christ anew, what will be different about you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.